by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Here we are, Thanksgiving week. We just had some turkey, Janet, and, you know, things are really starting to shape up for the holidays.
That's right. Gobble, gobble. And I'm sitting here with the turkey, too. So this is going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day to talk turkey.
You're getting cheesy.
So we still have some time on turkey hunting in this state of Wyoming, and people maybe just have turkey on their mind for Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, January 1st, you know, trying to get the new year started out right. And I think there are a lot of people that maybe would be surprised to know how long the turkey season actually stays in here in Wyoming.
It is such a great thing. We talk about a lot on this show how hunting can be kind of a family activity. It's fun to get everybody out and, you know, whether you're doing other types of hunting or it is turkey hunting, you know, there's still a lot of time left on the calendar for getting out with family and friends and enjoying the outdoors. And so just know in some places, there are opportunities until December 31st.
Oh, wow. So turkey season really can be all the way as almost as far as elk season goes in some places.
Yeah, we've got a lot of opportunity for turkey hunting in Wyoming. And so we have a spring season and a fall season, and they're totally separate. They're separate licenses. Your licenses are either valid for either or. You can get licenses in both years. A lot of folks don't realize you can actually get up to 3 licenses in each season. So here, like say for central Wyoming folks, we've got, you're in turkey hunter area too. And so like say Converse, that's like Converse, Natrona County, Niobrara and parts of Weston County. But anyway, you've got seasons that run from September 1 all the way to the end of December this fall, and you can get up to 3 licenses. You get 1 general and then even a couple type threes. We have some type 3 licenses that are valid just in Converse and Natrona County. So we got a lot of birds right now. So there's a lot of opportunity.
If somebody wants to get a turkey license, do they have to go through the website and kind of fill it out like they would an elk license or a deer license?
Well, you can apply for a license through the website, just like any big game license, or you can just, in the case of a turkey license, just like say a general deer license or something, you can just go on down to one of your sporting good outlets or here at the Game and Fish office and just buy one over the counter that way as well.
And you could still buy up to 3 at that point if that's how you're doing it? We all know that Casper has quite a large turkey population. At the base of the mountain, we also have turkeys that go up on Casper Mountain. And is it okay to shoot those? Can you shoot those turkeys on Casper Mountain?
As long as you have access and you're on property where you have access and permission to hunt, then absolutely you can. You know, we have restrictions as far as being in city limits, and that's not a Game and Fish restriction. They're municipal restrictions. So there's no discharge of archery and firearm equipment within city limits. But once you're in the county and you're legal to be there, absolutely you can. I can tell you on Casper Mountain, there are some public lands, like say Bear Trap Park, things like that, that are county parks where there actually is no discharge of firearms allowed. So you need to make sure. But for example, over in Ponderosa Park on the far east end of the mountain, you can discharge firearms. So you just need to make sure that you're allowed to hunt there. And if you have any questions, you can come see us.
And there's a lot of state and federal land up there that maybe people don't really realize that, you know, an Onyx map really lays it out perfectly, actually, because you can tell where you can go and where you can't go.
That's right. You know, a lot of the technology that we have out there at our fingertips now with GPSs, and you mentioned a brand, the Onyx, has a lot of that information on there that can be incredibly helpful. And it can pinpoint right where you are. It can pinpoint the land ownership. So all of that is pretty critical. And make sure that you are aware of where you are. Just like Ben Fitt said, some of the parks are yes and some of the parks are no.
All right, Justin. So, you know, we know they're in town. We know they're on Casper Mountain. But where are some of the best places you could go in Wyoming and do some hunting?
Well, turkeys, like we were saying, you know, they've done so well, really throughout a lot of the state. Turkeys have expanded the range in Wyoming in a lot of places. So now we have pretty robust populations in places like the Bighorn Basin, Sheridan, Johnson County, all that. Now, if we get talking central Wyoming, you know, most of the bird hunting tends to be on private land still. We do get some turkeys on Casper and Muddy Mountain, like we talked about. You get a few down in Hat Six and things like that. But most of the turkeys around here occur on private land. Now, as you get over towards Douglas, you can get some birds on National Forest, south of Douglas, up in the Laramie Range. And then certainly our preeminent turkey hunting spot in Wyoming is the Black Hills. And that's where we have the highest density of turkey populations in the whole state. But there's also a lot of birds that use public land up there on like the Black Hills National Forest.
So it really is a little bit confusing, but as long as you know, do your research, then you're good to go. And so if you go and, you know, we talked about my elk last time, so I took it over to Dan's to have it processed and all that. And, you know, what's the popular thing to do after you kill it? Do you just do it at home, or do you need to take it and get it processed up?
You know, it depends. I know, say the vast majority of people that harvest birds, take them home and clean them themselves and prepare them themselves. So that kind of goes a few different ways. Some people are really meticulous and take the time to pluck their birds and cook a whole bird with turkeys. Some people will just take the breasts. It's fair to say that the legs and the thighs of a wild turkey, they can be pretty chewy, but there's a lot of great recipes to slow cook them. Crock pot them all day long, things like that, where that meat will still fall off the bone and can be really, really good.
You know, when you have a goose, that's most people will really breast out a goose. But with the turkey, when you're cooking a regular turkey you buy at the store, that already doesn't have that gamey taste. So what are some ideas to go and change it up?
Yeah, and there's a lot of good recipes for like turkey soups, things like that. That can be a great way to use the leg and the thigh meat. And then I also recommend, too, for folks that have the time to consider a brine mixture for turkey. That can really take a little bit of that gamey taste out of it. And brine it for 24 hours and then either whether you want to grill it or bake it. You know, grilling turkey can be a little challenging because it can dry out pretty quick. Wild turkey just doesn't have much fat on it or anything like that. So and then there's lots of recipes online. Anything with a domestic turkey works for wild turkey, but then some of the Hank Shaw cookbooks and things like that have some awesome recipes for wild turkey.
And one thing I do know is if you have great plans for cooking a wild turkey, you will not see a wild turkey. Yeah. So wait till the last minute. I've been waiting for years and we still haven't had any luck harvesting. So making sure that you just, you know, have a great time. And again, it's just such a fun time to go out with friends and family and enjoy the outdoors.
You know, we've been talking a lot about eating those turkeys, but those turkeys have to eat too. And the city of Casper is, you know, kind of playing ball now, right?
Yeah. So, you know, anyone that lives around Casper right now recognizes that our turkey numbers are way up. They're way up in a lot of places right now. And so environmental conditions have been just really favorable. Good moisture leads to good grass production, which means good nest success, nest concealment from predators, things like that, good chick survival. You actually call them poults with turkeys. But so they've done really well the past few years. And one of the chronic problems we've found, especially when we're in the turkey business like we are now, is we do unfortunately get some residents that like to feed them. They can be fun to watch and that sort of thing. So I kind of understand why some folks like to do it, but we really discourage it. And we've actually taken it up with the Casper City Council, and between working with the chief of police and the city council, they've been great to work with. We actually, you know, the city council just enacted a feeding ban because almost everywhere in Casper where we have nuisance turkeys, and they can be, boy, if you get 50 turkeys roosting above your house or using your back porch and pooping all over, they can be a mess and a ruckus and make it hard to sleep. So it's almost invariably, though, when we have those situations, it's because a neighbor's feeding them. And so it's a pretty unneighborly thing to do. They also have issues where they can attract predators around. Like we do get mountain lions that come down into subdivisions at the base of the mountain. And a lot of that's directly responsible or a direct reason from people feeding turkeys. So
have we seen a pretty higher influx of mountain lions the last year or two, hadn't we?
Technology shows us a lot more, and that, you know, it's easier to get word out that there is a mountain lion that someone saw. Mm. And so, you know, it is a hard thing to necessarily quantify. But, you know, Justin knows the numbers.
Well, it's fair to say that mountain lion encounters and sightings have certainly been up at the base of Casper Mountain in the past few years. That's for sure.
And then obviously, you know, it doesn't help that the turkeys are here and we have a crazy amount of geese. So that also kind of brings them in too. So,
yeah, and it can feeding deer. It can be at any number of things, but feeding wildlife generally can be responsible for bringing those cats around.
So definitely not a good idea to feed your family, not your flock.
And really, it can just be so unneighborly. Invariably, the folks that feed them, they get the birds during the day, and they don't mind tolerating the mess. But then when those birds go to roost away from where they get fed, you're creating a problem for your neighbor. And so it can be pretty inconsiderate, to be honest with you.
And those suckers are getting smart because they're using the crosswalk.
That's exactly right. The number of pictures of the turkeys in the crosswalk. But people are stopping for them. So that's a good thing. Everybody is maintaining that law that if something's in the crosswalk, you're stopping. But, you know, really, Drew, I know that a lot of people choose to feed because they feel like the animals need it and they don't. And it's often harmful. It does them more damage to, you know, the deer and the turkey, depending on what kind of things that you are feeding. And so they're doing okay in the wild by themselves. So keep that in mind, that your heart doesn't necessarily need to go out to them and they don't need to be fed.
All right. If you have any more questions about the turkey, or you want to get a turkey license and maybe, you know, produce your own Christmas turkey, you can do that. WGFD.wild.gov, or stop out and see them. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Drew.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, we've had a heck of a month of November, and we're almost pushing into December. But boy, we've harvested some birds and some elk, and we've got a whole freezer full of stuff.
Yeah, it's been a fun month for sure. And you know, now Mother Nature's going to throw us that curveball.
Yeah, you know, I'm not real sure where we're going from here, because we've had this cold snap with a little bit of snow, and then it's going to start teetering and going up and down. And we didn't know how to dress before. It's really going to be that way now.
Yeah, you know, it seems like the old Farmer's Almanac said this was going to be one of the worst winters out there. And then last report I saw, now we're going to have an El Nino winter, and it's going to be milder than normal. So who knows what to believe? Just be prepared.
Exactly. And one of the things that we love about Rocky Mountain Discount Sports is you can come in here and really get everything that you need to be prepared. And we've talked about that a whole heck of a lot. But even when it comes to the clothing, I know you guys have just had a big Black Friday sale, and for the whole weekend you've been having sales. But that doesn't mean that all the selection goes away.
Yeah, that Black Friday sale ends tonight, actually. So we've got some great, great deals out there. And during my hunt with you, you know, I tried out some of the new King's XKG camo patterns, and it was really cool how good that pattern looked up against the sagebrush and whatnot. And we've got that camo on sale through the end of today for 25% off.
Wow. So, you know, and I'll tell you that when we've talked about boots in the past, you know, I've always known that boots are very important, but I didn't really realize it until you get into terrain like that, mm-hmm. that if you don't have a good fitting pair of boots, it could be bad news.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, that hunt realize that, you know, you're just not walking on trails all the time, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going after, you know, we were going after kind of a herd of 34, 35 elk down there, and we're walking across the side of a face and downhill, and, you know, I noticed I had some shin splints the following day, but just because of the angle that we were walking on. Fortunately, the boots that I had on gave me great ankle support. and very comfortable. So I mean, that wasn't the issue. It's just, you know, the lack that, you know, I sit behind a desk way too much.
Yeah, right. We're moving into December now, and birds are flying, and with the weather that we had, probably be a lot of duck hunters and goose hunters, and making sure you have those proper clothing for that type of hunting too, mm-hmm. because it's not the same as going out and searching for elk or deer where you're moving around a lot. You could be sitting in a blind or laying in a layout blind.
Yeah, especially, you know, if you're duck hunting and you're going to, you know, where you got to have waders, obviously, in most cases, and setting decoys and that kind of stuff. So having a good pair of like neoprene gloves, and then the underlayment that you're going to wear underneath those waders, you know, pretty important. Boots, obviously, you know, a lot of times you can get by with just a nice pair of muck boots or bogs boots. But, you know, in a lot of cases, somebody's got to be wearing a pair of waders. So having the right socks and the underlayment, the cold gear underneath that, you got to make sure it's right and that you're going to be comfortable.
Well, make sure you get by here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And no matter what the game you're hunting, if it's birds, if it's deer or elk still, I know that we got maybe a couple months left of elk and getting out and doing some hunting and just enjoying what we've got. And we talked to Game and Fish a little bit earlier this show about the fact that turkey hunting has been around a little bit longer now these days. So that's still an option.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different ways to go after those turkeys, and there's, you know, seems to be plenty of them around. I mean, I was driving up Casper Mountain the other day, and, you know, there's 30 or 40, you know, just on the trip up. So there's equally just as many in town, if not 10 yeah. times as many in town. But, yeah, there's, you know, we've got all kinds of different shotguns, especially if you're going to take a youth out. There's a lot of the what they call the toughy turkeys has been a really good single shot, first kind of gun where you can get that young guy, young gal on a turkey and be successful.
So get out here, check it out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And also, don't forget, I know that Thanksgiving may be over, but your Christmas turkey would be a good option to stop in here, maybe even check out a Traeger or Pit Boss.
Yeah, you know, I got some of the turkey pellets this last week and did a brine on my turkey and threw it on the Traeger for Thanksgiving, and it was fantastic.
Well worth it coming in here and checking it out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, we've talked a lot about hunting over the last few weeks because that's where our focus has been. And mm-hmm. now we've tagged out there's bird hunting still available, but also it's still not 100% time to stop fishing.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's time to put away the rifles and the backpacks and all the, you know, game processing stuff and focus on my birds. And before long, we're going to have ice on the water and on the lakes, and we're going to be ice fishing.
Yeah, after the first of the year, there's quite a good lineup of a lot of ice fishing tournaments from even a brand new one down at Glendo.
Right, yeah, the Glendo, the town of Glendo, and some committees down there are starting the ice fishing tournament called the Icebreaker, and that tournament is going to tentatively be held January 13th and 14th. So ice conditions pending, obviously,
right?
But you know, I've been in Wyoming for just over 20 years, and I have not heard of a tournament down there, and so that's kind of exciting to have something close, add that to our list of Pathfinder and Boys and tournaments, and give a guy an opportunity to get out and have some fun.
Yeah, and you know, over the last couple of years, we got hit really hard last year when it came to wintertime, and they're saying it could be an El Nino, it could be a mild winter, but it also they're saying it could be one of the worst. And I think the where we are and even where Glendo is right close to the arch of separating good from evil.
Yeah, well, last year, you know, the biggest problem that we had was that we had so much snow. Mm. And even though we had good ice conditions, there was so much snow on the lakes that guys really couldn't get around unless they had snow machines. And so hopefully we'll just get our normal, you know, good cold, get a good freeze, and it'll won't prevent people from getting around. But you know, even at Pathfinder, guys, you know, they shut down the access to Bishop's Point because the county crews just couldn't keep the roads open.
Right, and that ended up being an issue with the Hog Derby because they weren't able to get as many people in.
Right. So obviously, you know, especially for the Hog Derby, you know, that's kind of a fundraiser for the Pathfinder Boat Club to maintain and keep the facilities open and keep some staff there at the little retail shop that they have there and someone to run the pump. So really kind of important to kind of support those events and those people that are running those. So hopefully Mother Nature cooperates this year and we can all get out and have some fun.
Yeah, and that's a fun one too because, you know, groups like HD Outdoors and, and some of those are able to get veterans out on the ice and get them ice fishing. And I know that there are a lot of veterans that have gotten the opportunity to do the hunting part of it, but not many have been able to take on the ice fishing. And in some places, that's it's not possible.
Yeah, and there's organizations like the North Platte Walleyes. You know, they'll pull their trailer up there, and if you know you've never been ice fishing, you know, there's guys there that are willing to take you out and drill a hole for you and loan you some equipment. We've got some equipment that we've had some different training courses with different groups, whether they're veteran-based or whether they're youth-based. So hopefully the ice conditions are good so that the club can get up there again and take care of that.
Now, of course, we have a couple of other ice fishing derbies throughout January and February, and now's a good time to start thinking about maybe those Christmas gifts of maybe a new ice fisherman or someone that's had some equipment for quite a little while.
Yeah, you know, and after just coming out of hunting season, you know, there's a lot of things that you just kind of realize, man, I lost my knife or I would like to upgrade my binoculars. Or, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't think about, you know, even people's birthdays, you know, that, you know, that, you know, maybe they wanted something that was related to the summer, you know, so whether it's a new fish finder or something like that, good opportunity to just kind of come in and put something on layaway. And if you are just trying to take care of the ice fishermen, we've got all of our categories set out there right now. And so there's lots of new lures and jigs and fishing poles and jaw jackers and all those ice fishing pieces that a guy needs are here.
So one thing about the layaway is you don't put limitations on what items can go on layaway here in the store.
Yeah, no, you can put anything from you know, a knife to a pair of shoes to a tent, sleeping bag, you know, you name it. I mean, there is no limitation, and we're pretty lenient with it. You know, we ask for 20% down to begin with and 90 days to pay it off. But, you know, there's obviously situations that come about where someone, you know, doesn't get it paid off in 90 days, and we're not generally breathing down their throat. You know, just make some type of good faith payment, whether it's $5 or $10, and then whatever it takes to get it taken care of.
And it makes a big difference when you maybe have a family or you're looking to buy a whole bunch of things. Of course, there's always the idea of the gift card that you can get here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports too. Perfect stocking stuffers like socks and underpants and long underwear. I mean, things that you need.
Yeah, you know, stocking stuffers, there's lots of little things, whether it's a flashlight, you know, there's fishing lures that can go in there. Ammo's a good stocking stuffer. There's lots of little things that we carry in the store that are useful every day, but kind of fun to use for those stockings.
And if mom's listening, 5.56 would be a great box of ammo for Christmas this year.
Right, everybody could use 5.56.
Get out here and check them out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And don't forget, you can start your shopping online at RockyMountainSports.com. Very cool and convenient way for you to get your shopping underway for 2023 and Christmas. And that ice fishing gear, you might as well start breaking it in now because you may need it in January.
That's right. And make sure you get them re-spooled and make sure that your equipment's working right, because when January's here and the ice starts to form, it's going to come quick.
Get out here. Check it out. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew back on Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Now, a few weeks ago, I told you that I went up to Cedar Ridge Outfitters and hunted with Tony Kaiser for elk. And while I was there, I met Kamisha. Kamisha is the camp cook, and she also is a female guide for the outfitter. And Kamisha is joining me this morning to tell me a little bit about her experiences with the First Hunt Foundation. We have talked to Fred Williams over the years, and this is a fairly new organization here in Wyoming. And Kamisha, I appreciate you coming in. And how did you get involved with the First Hunt Foundation?
I've always had a history of hunting and everything. And then, probably about 8 years ago, my friend Stephanie was like, "Hey, let's go to this camp." It was the Bow, Becoming an Outdoor Woman. And so we applied for that and got in there. And that was kind of like the kickoff to being like, there's more that you can do with all of this. Because there was a bunch of different sections that they had that you could do. Dutch oven cooking, fly tying, kayaking, canoeing, hiking, how to poop in the woods. Just all of this, you know, random different stuff that was just really sparked a passion inside me and was like, I want to do more of this. And now it's just really falling into place for me.
So you have been an outdoorsy type girl your whole life, right? You grew up in like the horses and just outdoors.
Yep. Started out, my grandpa and grandma always had horses. My grandpa was a roper. Him and his brothers, they did the Old Timers Rodeo Association. And we did the Outlaw Trail Ride. And then we started doing 4-H. Like once you start turning 8, 9 years old, then you can sign up and join different projects. And so we did horses and pig and sheep and steers, cooking, sewing, like we did it all.
It was almost like you were destined to eventually end up as an outdoor guide because you're doing some hunt guiding and mentoring to other women.
Yeah. And I just love it. It's definitely like my most happy place next to being on top of a horse is going out there and helping others and teaching them about hunting and how it all works, and is just a huge eye-opener to a ton of people. So it's awesome to watch people grow in that aspect.
We talked a little bit when I was in hunt camp about how you kind of got in started with First Hunt Foundation and why that's important to you. And that's really led to you being able to be an in-house guide to help people out there at Cedar Ridge Outfitters. And what's some of the benefits that you find that when you get to go one-on-one with a female hunter that maybe is fairly new to the outdoors, you know, what benefit do you really get from that experience?
It's just building a relationship with people, networking, and just really getting to know that individual. And I've really created some very special bonds with people. And so that's just super special to me. And it just makes life that much better for everybody.
So you have 4 kids. So it's like, it's that mothering part of you that just loves to nurture and teach.
Yes, absolutely. And my son, he also has started guiding this year. So that's a really awesome avenue for him. And he says that he would rather be happy than be making a lot of money. And it's amazing that you can do something that you love. And
well, it seems like you passed on the love of the outdoors then if your son is into it like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super proud of him.
What would you give someone that may be wanting to explore the outdoors more? What would you give them advice on? What would be some of the first advice tips that you would give someone just trying to get into the outdoors?
I would just tell them to not be afraid. Don't let that fear stop them. Let it be an inspiration to go out and be adventurous, and you never know what's going to happen.
The sky's the limit in the outdoors, really, because it's not just elk hunting. It's not just deer hunting or antelope hunting. I mean, there are other avenues that you guys offer there, especially with the First Hunt Foundation.
Yeah, there is. They've really been working on building the program, and a lot of different other foundations like Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has helped kick in. And so all of that has really helped. We've been able to buy some enclosed trailers, archery equipment, and everything is very streamlined. Fred puts money designated to specific things, and that's where they go. And now we've got trailers going around, and we've got archery stuff in there, so kids are getting to be able to start learning how to do bow shooting. So like you said, the sky's the limit. There's other programs that are talking about trying to do some other events and get equipment like that too to help more kids learn. And it's just really awesome how the whole program is just blooming, and not just for one foundation. It's just for the whole entirety of all of these foundations that want to help kids and women and even men, like everybody. So it's really awesome to watch the whole state come together as like one huge family and reach out to help everybody be more educated about hunting and safety and just growing and sharing that education and knowledge.
One of the great parts about the First Hunt Foundation is that it's fairly new still, just a couple of years old and already making impacts. So, you know, we talk about how the sky is the limit for the outdoors, but with this organization, the sky's the limit, especially when it comes to a young hunter or a single mother that has a young kid that wants to get in the outdoors. And that's kind of where the First Hunt Foundation works the best, is just taking those moms and kids out and getting in the outdoors. And what would you say is the easiest way to get in contact with you guys so that a mom that maybe is just looking to get her kid out a little bit?
Probably the best way is through Facebook, First Hunt Foundation Wyoming. And there's First Hunt Foundations throughout the U.S. and growing. Just reach out through that and contact us, and somebody will get back to you.
It's a great organization, and Kamishi, you are a big part of it. And you said that you not only are doing the First Hunt, but the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. You guys have all kinds of events coming up in the next few weeks to raise money for all these organizations.
Yeah, we do. December 1st, we have a Cowgirl Christmas, and we posted that just locally for Thermopolis, and it was sold out within like 3 or 4 days. And we have a waiting list right now of over 40 people. So awesome. It's really amazing. And we wish we could have everybody come, but our space is limited. That's the only factor right now. Next year, we'll definitely probably have to try to find a bigger venue. So,
well, and it goes to show how big this First Hunt Foundation is starting to be. So if you want to find out more, if you want to donate, you don't have to just go to some of these events. You can go and donate your time. You can become a mentor. You can find mentors all at firsthuntfoundation.org/Wyoming. It's a cool foundation. It's a cool thing that, looking at your social media, you have some pretty adventurous things that you go on throughout the year. You don't just get adventurous during elk season.
No, I love doing a little bit of everything. So just living life to the fullest. Absolutely. So
that's the best way to look at it, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Tell my kids I'm living life on the edge. But you're never too old to learn something new. So I think that's the best part about life. Just keep growing and trying to be the best version of yourself that you can be, and never stop.
And reaching out to organizations like the First Hunt Foundation is an easy way to get into that. So get over and check it out. You can, again, find out more at First Hunt Foundation YO on Facebook, and then firsthuntfoundation.org/Wyoming
on the website. Kamishi Larson, I do appreciate you coming on the show and all you're doing for folks with the First Hunt Foundation and all the guiding and mentoring that you're doing.
Thank you, Drew.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Had a beard full of ice, it felt kind of nice. That dog, he didn't care. Had the cue beam shining from bank to bank. The boys is up front looking for stumps. You think this is living right? Them boys, let me tell you what. You might be a duck man. You might be a duck man. Just might be a duck man. Well, boys, let me tell you what. Pulled in the hole, it was mighty cold, and the decoys was covered with ice. I was drinking coffee when the teal came in, it was shooting hours all right. I shot out front, they flew straight up, them boys just cut them all. If this kind of action is your kind of passion, well, boys, let me tell you what, you might be a duck man. You might be a duck man. Just might be a duck man. Well, boys, let me tell you what. The 8:30 flight came in just right. Big mallards committed and cupped. Red legs hanging, we started banging. Boy, they knew they messed up. Well, we finished the cripples, picked up a limit. That dog was fired up. If this is what you live for, boys, let me tell you what. You might be a duck man. You might be a duck man. Just might be a duck man. Well, boys, let me tell you what. We picked up our stuff, loaded up the boat. The bottom was covered with ducks. Tore down the river. The outboard was screaming. There was nothing in the water but prop. When we got back, the women worked fast. We sure love picking a duck. You got a woman that lives like this. Well, boys, let me tell you what. You might be a duck man. You might be a duck man. Just might be a duck man. Well, boys, let me tell you what, you might be a duck man. You might be a duck man. You just might be a duck man. Well, boys, let me tell you what.
Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.